It's Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from radio's golden age. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Welcome to This Hour of Horror. Later on, we hear Mary Shelley's Frankenstein on Suspense, but right now it's The Evil Eye on The Weird Circle. This NBC broadcast first released for syndication in 1945.
Phantoms of a world gone by speak again the immortal tale, The Evil Eye.
Now, please read the last line, Mr. Despremont. A. Is that Z? Go right ahead. Z. T.
No, I can't see the rest, Doctor.
Very well. Now lean back while I have a look. Well, what is it? Did that hurt your eyes?
You flashed that little light into my eyes. I had a terrible pain in the back of my head.
Oh. Well, then put your head way back. I can probably see with the overhead light. There. Now let's see.
Why do you suppose that light hurt them so?
I'm afraid, Mr. Despremont, that your eyes are very much weakened. Strong light of any sort will probably... I'm afraid I'll have to stop for a moment.
What's the matter, Doctor? You're suddenly so pale. Are you ill?
Why, I don't know. All at once I felt so weak, though perhaps my heart had almost stopped. Here, let me sit down for a moment.
Well, I'll get you a glass of water. Here, Doctor, take a drink of this.
There. That's a bit better. Just let me sit here a minute.
Maybe it was from leaning over so far to look into my eyes.
Why, no, I wasn't leaning too far. I just observed the odd color of the iris of your eye, Mr. Despremont. A color usually associated with... Well, that doesn't matter. But all at once it seemed to me that the light caught a reflection in your eye, and as I saw that, I felt terribly weak. Almost as though I'd been heavily drugged.
Are you feeling any better now, Doctor?
Yes. Yes, thank you, somewhat. I'll give you my report, and then I believe I shall go home for tea. I shall have to cancel my next appointment.
I hope the report isn't too bad. You see, I'm leaving London in a few days, and I'd hate to have to miss the trip.
Well, sir, as I said, your eyes are greatly weakened. I should definitely advise your keeping out of strong light, especially bright sunlight. I'm afraid that if you don't, you will greatly endanger your vision.
You mean I may go blind.
I'm sorry to have to tell you this, sir, but I must be frank. You will almost certainly be blind within time unless... Well, without surgery, those nerves cannot be saved.
But, Doctor, I've got to go to Naples. Everything's arranged, and I can't change things.
For what reason, Mr. Despremont?
One that may sound a bit super romantic, I'm afraid. You see, my fiancée, Miss Ward, has gone there with her uncle, and I'm going to join them for a short while.
Well, there's no hindering youth in love, sir. I may as well give up that thought now. I'll tell you, though, I should advise treatment immediately upon your return. And meantime, against the brilliance of the Italian sun, I should advise covering your eyes with smoked glasses. Under no circumstances, look directly into brilliant light.
You think it'll be safe to go then, Doctor?
Well, tell me, why can't Miss Ward return to London? Surely, if you explain...
I should hate to worry her over so trivial a matter, Doctor.
Trivial? I assure you, Mr. Despremont, this is no trivial matter. It means your sight, the power to see.
Under those circumstances, I should send for her, I suppose. But, you see, she went there for her own health, and as long as I can protect my eyes until I return, I feel that my visit to her would be safer.
Has she been very ill? Look at me, Mr. Despremont, while we talk. Keep your eyes from that strong overhead light.
Well, for some time before her departure, she was subject to sudden fits of faintness. Her color had gone, and she was very weak when she left London. Those faint spells were very strange, Doctor. In fact, they seemed to come upon her just as yours did. Often when we were very close, looking into each other's eyes.
Well then, sir, in that case, I should have... That flash of light in your eyes...
Doctor, what is it? Can't you hear me, Doctor? What's the matter?
all right, monsieur. They said we may go ashore now.
Oh, good, good, Rudolph. I'm certainly ready. This trip to Naples has been rather tiresome.
Monsieur is anxious to reach his destination and Miss Ward?
Monsieur is very anxious for that. Let's get started.
Yes, sir.
So there I was. I hope my gun...
I've already attended to the luggage, Monsieur Paul. It's on the dock.
Was there anyone there?
But yes, monsieur, there was.
Well, quickly, Rudolph, tell me, was it Miss Ward?
Miss Ward? No, monsieur. But it's a very... Yes, a very charming lady.
Tell me, Rudolph, who is it?
Miss Ward's personal maid, monsieur, whom she sent to greet you and...
Her maid? No one else?
Oh, just the carriage driver, monsieur. Miss Ward sent a carriage with a message that you're to come to their house at the beach as quickly as it is convenient. The maid, Louisa, will help you.
Was there no other message?
Perhaps Louisa has one for you, monsieur. Oh, there she is, there. Oh, is she not lovely?
It'd be fine, wouldn't it, Rudolph, if you were to take the maid and I the mistress?
Yes, monsieur. Louisa, here.
Ah, senor, it is to me a pleasure to welcome. Senor.
What is it, Louisa? Is something wrong?
Senor, it is... I will call the carriage.
Oh, wait, wait, Louisa.
Si, senor.
Well, what is it? What's wrong? Well, what on earth have you got there in your hand?
It is nothing, senor. A tiny pair of horns which I wear on this chain around my neck.
Horns? Well, what for? You're holding them pointed at me so oddly.
They are for my protection, senor. That is all. I must call the carriage.
What do you make of that, Rudolph?
I cannot say, monsieur.
Oh, well, you get the baggage to the hotel, and I'll meet you there later after I visit Miss Ward and her uncle.
Yes, monsieur. Louisa!
Your master, you have worked for him for long?
8 years.
You know what these are? These horns I carry?
Yes, I know. I am Italian by birth. But I do not believe.
You will believe. And before long. Your master, Signor Paul. He is very evil, that one. I get the story. Oh, Paul, it's so wonderful to see you again.
Alicia, my darling.
Oh, it's been so long. I'm sorry you couldn't have come sooner. It's wonderful here.
It is a beautiful spot. And you, my darling, are more lovely than ever.
Come with me out to the terrace. I fixed it up for tea. The Commodore and a friend of ours are there now. Did you enjoy the trip here?
No, it was quite tiresome. But anything would be tiresome away from you, Alicia.
Oh, my dearest. But come on, the others are waiting.
Oh, Paul, my lad, welcome.
Thank you, Commodore. Delighted to be here.
And we're delighted to have you. Though I must say, Alicia doesn't look the worse for having missed you.
Oh, Uncle, I've spoken of him constantly. You know that.
He's right, though. He's right, though, Alicia. You do look very well. Much better than when you left London.
I look well because you've arrived at last, Paul. Oh, but we're forgetting our manners. Paul, may I present Count Altavilla, our friend.
A pleasure, Signor.
Sir, Alicia has written of you in her letters. I'm delighted at meeting you.
Well, now that you're here, Paul, you'll have to look to your laurels. Count Altavilla would like to be your rival.
I shall do my best to prevent that, sir. I'm sure the Count would be a far more charming friend than enemy.
Mm-hmm. I think, gentlemen, that this is something of a question for me to decide, isn't it? Why, Signor, what is that you have in your hand?
This? Why, my dear, it's a little ornament I always carry on a chain around my neck.
Let me see. Why, it's a tiny pair of horns.
A pair of horns?
Have you seen them before, Paul?
Yes. Yes, I have.
I am not surprised, sir.
Well, what on earth are they for?
They serve a very real purpose, my dear. We were speaking of your health, Alicia. You have improved greatly since coming here to Naples.
My faint spells have stopped. I'm sure it's the sunshine.
You've had none of the spells since you left London?
She's been as bright and healthy as a flower, Paul, and just as beautiful.
With that, I agree, Commodore. Extremely beautiful.
I can see that this is my afternoon to shine. Oh, but I do love to sit here in the warm, sunny air in the afternoon, though. It's been good for me. Well, the sun is coming around this way now, and you'll see how delightful it is.
Will it be directly on us?
In a few minutes, yes. Why, Paul?
Don't say, Paul, that you're afraid of a little sunlight.
Well, it's just that, you see, my eyes need protection. That's why I wear these smoked glasses occasionally.
Yes. Your eyes do need protection, Signor.
Oh, could you tell, sir?
A great deal, Signor.
If you men will insist upon talking in riddles, I shall have to separate you. Come on, Paul, let's walk in the garden. There's shade there, and you can take those foolish glasses off again.
I'd love to, Alicia.
You'll pardon us, gentlemen?
Oh, of course, my lad.
Perhaps, Signor, it would be better if you kept the glasses on, even while you're in the garden.
If you think so, sir, perhaps it would be best.
What on earth were you two talking about that way? I can't understand a thing.
Well, isn't the Count an eye doctor?
Heavens, no. I don't believe he's anything but a wealthy man. Come on, Paul, take them off. It's shady here.
I will, my darling. I can see your lovely face more clearly without them.
Paul, did you notice that the Count put away those funny little horns after you put your glasses on?
No.
I can't understand it. He's been so strange this afternoon. First he spoke in a peculiar way about my health and then about your eye.
Maybe he's jealous, darling, driven out of his mind with jealousy.
Oh, Paul.
A man might well be about a beautiful girl like you. Especially when that beautiful girl watches another man with such concentration.
Oh, Paul, did I do that?
I loved every minute of your watching me.
We've been apart so long, Paul. I want to devour you with my eyes.
Oh, Alicia, my darling. My only love, let me hold you here. Stay still here in my arms and let me... Let me look at you. Let me look into those beautiful eyes of yours.
Paul. Paul. Paul, what's happening?
What's the matter? Alicia. Alicia, speak to me.
Paul, I feel so faint, so funny. Just the way I used to feel before I left London.
Well, here, here, darling. Sit down here on this little bench. Rest yourself for a moment.
Oh. Dear, I'm beginning to feel better now. A little stronger. I can't imagine what it was. I felt drugged somehow, as though I was losing all my strength. I could see the light flashing in your eyes.
Let's go back to the house. This worries me. Maybe a little rest.
Yes, rest may be what I need, Paul. I've been waiting for you for so long, and now that you're here, perhaps my nerves are in need of rest.
Come on, dearest.
Look up here on the terrace. The Count is gone, I guess.
Yes, yes, the Commodore's standing there alone. He seems to be waiting for us.
He seems puzzled about something. Why, Uncle, what's the matter?
So, you're back already, eh?
What is it? You look pale, Alicia. Has something happened?
Oh, it was nothing serious. I'm better now. I had one of my faint spells, that's all.
It worried me, sir.
And well, it might. Alicia hasn't had one of those for a long time.
What's that in your hand, Uncle?
Count Altavilla left a present for you, my dear.
Present for me? Well, why didn't he give it to me himself?
He said you might need it. He hadn't thought of it while you were here.
Let me see, Uncle. Give it to me. Why, what on earth?
What is it?
Tiny pair of horns. Paul, what can this mean?
Anything else, monsieur?
No, thank you, Rudolph. That was a delicious dinner they set up.
It is an excellent hotel, monsieur.
Tell me, Rudolph, you talked to Louisa the other day after I'd left.
Yes.
Did she explain her attitude toward me? She seemed so frightened.
No, monsieur. She was not frightened. It was... Well, it was just...
Oh, come, come, Rudolph. I could see that there was something wrong, and later Count Altavilla held a pair of these horns toward me, just as Louisa had.
Monsieur... If you insist on knowing, it's a silly superstition they have here.
Superstition? What kind?
It's about the evil eye. They believe that some people, people with eyes the color of yours, monsieur, possess a terrible power, the power to kill with a glance. The ignorant Louisa believed it of you.
Perhaps not so ignorant.
But, monsieur, you do not believe it.
You remember, Rudolph, I told you about the doctor's fainting after examining my eyes?
Yes, monsieur.
The same thing happened with Alicia. The first time she's fainted since she came here, since she saw me last. Now, there could be a connection. Tell me, Rudolph, you were born in this country. Have you ever seen this evil eye in action?
I have seen several accused of having it. A man so afflicted is called a jettatore. I have even seen the ignorant people hound him to death. Of course, you, monsieur, a foreigner, a gentleman... They would not dare.
And the horns. What are they?
Horns, monsieur? Oh, You have seen those too?
Twice.
They are supposed to be able to ward off the evil of the glance of a Yetatori.
Then even the Count Altavilla believes in this.
Even so educated a man as he, monsieur. I will answer, monsieur.
Monsieur d'Estremont, if you please.
Who is calling, monsieur?
Count Altavilla, come in, come in.
Oh, thank you, senor. I trust I am not intruding.
Not at all. Be seated, senor. It's a pleasure to see you.
Perhaps it will be less of a pleasure when I've explained my visit.
Was that so, senor? I see you've not forgotten to replace the horns.
By no means. I trust them with my life. And so must Miss Ward until I have your promise to stay away from her.
Stay away from her? I can't do that, senor.
I've come to ask you that very thing.
But she's my fiancée. You have no right to ask such a thing.
It is for her sake. You can do her great harm.
I can take steps, senor, to prevent that harm.
No, senor, that will not do. You must refuse to see her again.
And leave the field clear for you?
Precisely. I shall marry Miss Ward. She will be safe that way.
And, senor, what will Miss Ward have to say about this?
I've already told her and her uncle about the evil power you possess. I warned them.
And what was Miss Ward's answer?
Unfortunately, she was stubborn, senor. She will not believe in this power. She believes herself to be ill of some other cause and wishes to marry you. But that, of course, is immaterial.
Immaterial, senor? Immaterial that the girl I love, the most wonderful girl in the world, would prefer to chance death with me than marry another? How can you dare to come here to me in my own rooms and suggest such things? How dare you? How dare you? There, senor. Perhaps you will want satisfaction for that.
Very well, senor. If you prefer it that way, I accept your challenge.
Monsieur! Monsieur, you're not thinking of dueling. Not in these days. It's been forbidden. Please, monsieur, reconsider. I cannot reconsider now. The thing is done.
Don't fear, senor. I know the place for this. There is a cave on the seashore. No one will be near.
As for the weapons, senor, I have a suggestion.
I will give you the privilege of selecting the weapons.
Since you believe in the power of my eyes, that even with a glance I might kill you, I suggest we duel with swords blindfolded.
Blindfolded?
And that way, senor, if one of us wishes to run away, he will also not be able to find the cave's mouth.
It is a fair suggestion, senor. It is settled then. Tomorrow morning at sunrise. The cave is near to Miss Ward's house. Your servant will stand guard outside. There will be no danger of discovery, senor, for the tide washes into the cave and leaves it bare of clues.
Oh, monsieur! Monsieur! What have you done?
This is it, monsieur. The cave.
Very well, Rudolph. There is Count Altavilla coming up the beach.
Oh, monsieur, I beg you, stop now. Don't go on with this.
No, Rudolph, it's settled now. I must go on.
Senor, is everything prepared?
I'm quite ready.
Very well, then. Look in here. You see, there is sufficient room for us.
Enough for our purpose, senor. All right, Rudolph, you may blindfold us now. Bind my eyes first so the Count will see that it's done fairly.
Monsieur, I...
Come, Rudolph, it's getting late.
Very well, monsieur. There. Tell me if I tie it too tightly.
No, that's fine. Tie on Count Altavilla's blindfold now and leave us into the cave.
Yes, monsieur. And you, sir, am I tying it too tightly?
It fits very well as it is.
And now, this way, monsieur. This way.
Stand guard outside, Rudolph. Be sure to keep careful watch.
Yes, monsieur.
And now, senor...
Ready, senor.
We begin.
Oh! I almost fell. Silence, senor. Your voice gives your position away.
Yes, so it does, senor. Let me get this blindfold off.
He's dead.
Monsieur! Monsieur! Oh, it is you! Thank heaven, it is you!
Yes, Rudolph, it's I. The tide will come later and claim Count Altavilla. At least no one can say it wasn't a fair fight.
Oh, no, monsieur. Here, I will get your coat. The sun is rising now, but you are chilled.
Yes, yes, the sun is rising. Rising on another day. Look, Rudolph, how red and brilliant it is. Oh. Rudolph. Rudolph, my eyes. My head.
Mr. Fulton. What is it?
Rudolph, where are you? I can't see you. Everything is dim and dark.
Well, I'm here, monsieur. Right here. Can't you see me yet?
Yes. Yes, Rudolph. Now that you're closer, I can see you. But not too well. Oh, Rudolph. This is a great day for me.
Monsieur, your eyes. They are red. Do they hurt you? Can't you see?
I can still see, Rudolph. I can still see, but not for long. Rudolph, I'll soon be blind.
But, monsieur, you sound happy. Happy to be blind.
I forgot. I looked at the sun when it was rising. It was brilliant and red. And now I'll be blind. Why didn't I think of it before?
Of what?
Blindness, Rudolph, blindness. If I'm blind, my eyes can hurt no one. It was so simple. And now, by chance, by the goodness of heaven, I'll be blind. Alicia and I will be safe together after all.
Monsieur, have you gone mad?
Oh, far from it, Rudolph. A lucky accident has brought me happiness. Alicia. Alicia. Rudolph, go back and wait for me at the hotel. I'm going to her now. I must see her again, just once again, before I can see her no longer. Alicia, my darling.
Paul, why are you here so early in the morning?
Alicia, I had to come. I had to tell you that everything's all right now.
What's all right, my dearest? It always has been, hasn't it?
I knew you'd be awake, Alicia, when I came and called under your window.
There couldn't have been anything better to wake up to than the sound of your voice calling me.
It's wonderful here in your garden, in the early sunlight, isn't it?
Any place is wonderful with you, my darling.
Everything is so brilliant and sparkling.
But, Paul, you've forgotten. Your eyes, you said you had to protect them.
Well, that doesn't matter any longer, my love. It's over.
Oh, Paul, why does everyone act so strange? First, it's Count Altavilla with some weird idea about your eyes, and now you act so mysteriously.
There's nothing to worry about, my darling. Everything's fine now.
Paul, please tell me what it is.
Oh, my darling, come here. Come into my arms. Here, let me look deep into your eyes. Let me see you as you are, and let me look well. I want to fix your picture in my mind so I'll remember it always, always, my love, just as you are now. You'll never change for me.
Paul. Paul, you're looking at me as though you'll never see me again. What is it?
Never see you again? I'll always see you just like this.
Oh, Paul, I feel so faint. So awful. So I'm going to... Oh, help me. Don't let me fall.
Alicia. Oh, I've looked too long. Alicia, I'll rest you here on this bench. I'll get you water. I'll be right back. I'll be right back. My eyes. It's all too dark. I can't see. Alicia. Say something, Alicia, so I can find my way. Say something. Alicia. Alicia.
Paul, my lad. Is something wrong? What is it?
I can't find her. Alicia, she's gone.
Gone? Well, lad, she's right there, lying on that bench.
Your eyes, Paul. Your eyes, what's happened? They're red and bloodshot. Can't you see, lad? Can't you see?
I'm blind now. I'm blind. I can't harm Alicia anymore. I love her. I'll always love her. I can't see her anymore.
Oh, Lord. What is this?
Alicia. Alicia, wake up, child. Wake up. It's your uncle.
Won't she speak anymore? Won't she answer?
Alicia. Paul. Paul, come here. What's happened?
Alicia's dead.
They did it. My eyes. With that last light, they did it. How can I stay here? How can I stand this place any longer?
Paul, where are you going? Paul,
house. I'm going home back to town. Away anywhere away from here.
No, that way. The house is over here.
You're going away, going home where people won't think and won't know.
Be careful, Paul. Take this. Stand this way, Paul.
I'll always live with a picture of Alicia in my mind. I'll always.
Paul. Paul.
brother, sir. He couldn't see the kiss. He fell. Oh, Alicia. Alicia, my child.
Time-worn pages of the past, we have brought you the story, The Evil Eye. Bellkeeper, toll the bell.
The Weird Circle, on Tuned to Yesterday, an NBC broadcast from 1945. You're listening to an hour of horror on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now radio's outstanding theater of thrills, suspense, adapts one of the most famous stories in the genre. It's Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. Though they wouldn't be the first, one of the earliest recorded broadcasts of the story was heard on The Witch's Tale in 1935. The Weird Circle even adapted it, and a popular series of programs based on the story from the George Edwards Players, hailing from Australia, produced in 1938. We hear the first time suspense adapted Mary Shelley's tale from November 3, 1952, on CBS.
Autolite and its 98,000 dealers bring you Mr. Herbert Marshall in tonight's presentation of
Suspense. Tonight, Autolite presents a new radio adaptation of one of the most famous suspense stories ever written, Mary Godwin Shelley's Frankenstein. Our star, Mr. Herbert Marshall.
Hello, Victor.
Hello, Mary. The Reverend in?
Out in the garden, as usual. Do you want me to call him?
No, thanks. I'll go out.
Well, all right. Tell him not to get too dirty. We're supposed to play croquet with the McDonald's at 5.
I'll tell him.
When's Elizabeth coming home?
Tomorrow or Tuesday, I think.
You'll both have to come over for dinner.
Love to, Mary.
I'll see you later.
Hi. Oh, you're just in time to give me a hand. Whew. Well, these Indian summers, hot, too sticky.
James, I got to talk to you.
Well, of course. What, anything wrong? You know, you haven't looked too good for the past month or so. Something on your mind?
Yes.
Oh, well, then. Let's go in the house. I'll get you a beer. We can talk.
No, not in the house. Do you mind if we walk?
Oh, of course not. Oh, wait a moment. I put my pipe over there. There we are. Might get some rain. Hope so. I won't have to play croquet. Asinine game.
James?
Oh, look now, we're friends. You know you can speak to me. What's the matter? One of your patients die? You made a mistake, perhaps?
No, nothing like that. Perhaps it's worse. I'm not sure.
Has it anything to do with Elizabeth going away?
In a way, yes.
Oh. My favorite place. You know, Victor, I think of most of my sermons standing here looking across the valley. Lovely, isn't it? Got a match? Oh, thanks.
Listen, I've been doing an experiment. It's very complicated. And I've almost finished.
Well, that's wonderful.
I think I'm a little afraid of it. I don't know. I've tried to think it out myself. I can't find the answer.
Go on.
You believe in God, don't you?
Oh,
I mean, because I don't go to church, you don't think that I don't believe, do you?
I don't think that at all. You're a good man.
I want you to promise me something. You've got to promise that you'll never breathe a word of what I'm about to tell you.
You have my word.
You swear?
I don't usually break my word.
Oh, I'm sorry. Look, I've made something. It's tremendous. It's impossible. But I think I've done it. And it goes against everything you believe, James.
What? What have you done?
I've made a thing.
I don't understand.
I put it together. Heart, brain, nerves, muscle, everything. I've done it. Now do you understand? A complete body.
And you're upset because of that? You think that you've done something wrong?
But...
Oh, you're a surgeon. What you've done will help to save a life. If you've learned more about the human body, this experiment can't be wrong. It can only do good. Oh, I shouldn't worry.
Last night, I made it move. I'm not certain, but I think I can give it life. Absolute life. Now do you see why I'm afraid? I've created a man.
I'd better call Mary. She'll be worried.
All right, but...
I won't say anything. Hello, Mary? No, I'm with Victor. Now, listen, dear, I'm afraid we'll have to put off the McDonald's. Yes, I know. Well, Mary, I have something very important to discuss with Victor. It can't wait. Yes, dear. No, don't wait supper. I'll have something over here. Yes, I will, dear. Goodbye.
You don't have to see this thing if you don't want to, James.
What is it?
In my lab. I had an addition built on. I'm the only one who has a key.
I don't say I believe what you told me, but how do you know you can make it live? I mean, is it anything more than galvanic action?
You'll see.
Why lock it?
I always do.
Oh. Is that the addition over there?
Yes.
Dark.
There aren't any windows. It's better that way. Before I show you, I want to explain. This is what started it. It was mostly an accident. One of the kids brought in his dog. It had been run over, killed. He wouldn't believe it was dead. Expected me to bring it back. I gave it a shot in the heart. And then another with this stuff. A compound I've fooled with for a long time.
Yes?
The dog came back to life. Just for a moment.
How do you know the dog was dead?
No, it was. It had been for 2 hours. All that happened 3 years ago.
You've been experimenting on things ever since?
Yes.
It's wrong.
I don't know.
No, it's wrong.
You don't have to stay, James.
What are you going to do? Try to bring it to life?
I've got to. I've got to try.
Then why did you come to me?
I wanted to tell you. I had to tell someone. You're my friend.
I'm a minister. I preach and believe in the word of God.
Do you want to see it?
No. No, I don't, but I must.
It's not terrible to look at. I've done a pretty good job on it. But it isn't quite finished. I'm not quite done with the face.
Oh, my.
Well?
No. No, Victor. Bury it. Let it be at peace. Don't do it. Even if you can, and I can't imagine it possible, don't even try.
Do you realize what it would mean to me, to the world?
Standing here with you, looking at that, it's easy to imagine anything. I don't want to. Put it to rest, Victor. Forget it.
That's just it. I can't. Not until I find out one way or the other. Watch.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to show you what happened last night.
I don't want to see. I don't care.
I know better.
Oh, listen to me, Victor. This mustn't go on. You've got to stop it.
Not yet. Not until I find out.
Does Elizabeth know what you're doing?
No.
Why did you send her away?
I didn't want her here when I made the last test.
Because you're ashamed. You know it's wrong. You know what she'd think.
I'm not ashamed. I think I'm a little frightened at the incredible greatness of what I've done. It's bigger than anything since the world began.
If it moves, if you prove your point to me, will you stop then? Will you destroy it? The formulas, whatever papers you have, destroy all of it, will you?
I don't know. Hand me that hypodermic, will you?
No.
All right. There.
If I say I believe you, Victor, if...
You don't have to be afraid of it. It couldn't hurt you, you know. There's only enough of this stuff to stimulate a small portion of its brain.
I'm not afraid of it. I'm afraid for us all. I've never preached to you, Victor.
It moved its left foot last night, then the right. I'm going to try the arm now. Move the light over, please. Thanks. Watch carefully. Only takes a few seconds. Now.
Look. Look. It's hand.
I know. That's the way it was yesterday. The movement only lasts for a moment, though. That's all.
I don't know what to say. I don't even think I understand what I've seen, except that it's terrible.
Because you don't understand, or because of what it means?
I'm afraid, if you like. I'm afraid for you, for what you've done. That thing lying there, you've got no right. I won't allow... What's that?
What?
Listen.
Stethoscope. It's impossible. There wasn't enough...
Breathing, Victor. What have you done? The thing's alive.
Enough. It couldn't have. 10 cc. 10 yesterday. Unless the drugs are cumulative. Maybe that's it.
His eyes are open. What are you going to do?
Now? Listen to his heart again.
It's got to be destroyed. You've got to put an end to it. It's inhuman. Don't you see what you're doing? You can't give it a soul.
How do you know?
You can't give it.
How do you know what I can give it? I've given it life, haven't I? It sees, it breathes, moves, perhaps hears. Yes. Does it hear? Ha! Look, did you see that? It blinked, the head jerked. It hears. It's aware of sound. Does it feel pain?
Don't, Victor. It's not an animal. You've formed it like a man. Give it the dignity of one. I won't let you do that to it.
I've gone this far, James.
Put down the scalpel.
What are you going to prove by that?
I think you must be mad.
I don't interfere with your work, James. Why?
There's someone at the door.
Yes. I think I'd better strap it down on the table. You won't forget your promise, will you?
I'm sorry I gave my word. I'm sorry you ever told me about this. I feel I'm as guilty as you are now.
Whatever took you so long? Hello, James.
Hello, Elizabeth.
Darling, I tried to call from the station, but the line's out of order.
Oh, I'm sorry, dear. Did you have a nice time?
Lovely. Everybody sends their love.
That's good.
What have you two been up to? How's Mary, James?
Oh, very well, thank you.
What a fine pair of sober sides you are. What did you do, darling? Break one of my good dishes? I knew I shouldn't have left you alone. Well, what are we standing in the hall for? Let's go in.
Elizabeth, I must be going. Mary will be wondering, particularly if the phone's out of order.
It's raining very hard.
Oh, no, I'll be all right.
You'll take an umbrella. There's one in the kitchen.
Are you going to tell her?
No.
You won't unstrap it from the table, will you?
Not yet.
All right, I'll try to come back later. I want to think.
About what?
You've changed since you came to see me this afternoon. You really don't care what I think now, do you?
I suppose not. Thanks anyway, James.
Are you going to let it live?
That's funny from you. Have I the right to kill it?
You've already done something you had no right to do. Something that you don't even understand. The creation of man isn't your job, it isn't mine. Oh, I know your bright scientific mind's laughing
at me. Here's the umbrella, James. But I wish you'd wait until the storm blows over.
No, I really must get back. Thank you, Elizabeth. I'll return it tomorrow. Goodbye.
Well, what's the matter with him? Have you been arguing religion again, Victor?
No, dear. Look, I'm doing a little work in the lab. It's rather important. Do you mind?
What is going on, Victor? There's something.
No, dear, nothing at all. There isn't.
I know there is. What's the matter?
Nothing, dear, really. I've got to get back to work now. The straps. It got off the table. It broke the straps. It's just standing there looking at me. What do I do? Talk to it? What do I say? Can it understand I've done it? I've done it? It's almost perfect. Muscular control. Coordination. I wish I'd finished the face, though. It must be terribly strong. That's odd. It's not over average size. Now what? Can you understand what I say? Do you feel any pain? Are you hungry? I'm a man like you. You are a man. Do you understand? Here. This is a mirror. You can see yourself in it. Look. It's all right. It's all right. It's angry. But it doesn't show anger in its face. There's emotion, though. It sees ugliness and is afraid. I'll have to get it back on the table, put it to sleep. That's the best way. Then use a stronger strap or chain. The eyes, just staring. They seem watery. What a marvel it is, though. I want you to come over here and sit down. Do you hear me? Come here and sit down. Come here. No, don't touch that. No, stop it. Stop it! Put it down!
Thank you.
some noise upstairs. Why? What's happened to you? Who broke the window?
The window.
Oh, Victor. What's the matter, dear? What's happened?
Did you see anyone?
No. Did someone break in?
Elizabeth, don't ask me any questions. Just do what I ask. Get your coat on.
But why?
I'm taking you over to the Gibsons. I want you to stay there.
Oh, why? Why? What is it? Oh, Victor, please.
And I can't tell you about it now. You may have to stay there all night. Hurry, please.
We've got to call the police.
No, they'll shoot it. I don't want that. It's just frightened, that's all.
Oh, being a fool, Victor, do you realize what it means? That thing roaming about the country? What about the children, everybody in the village? I'm going to get the police.
No, please, James. Give me a chance to find it first.
Then what? You do a few more experiments, give it speech, perhaps, and it happens again?
It's mine. I made it.
I'm not thinking of that now. It's Mary and your wife. We don't even know where it is. If it wants to kill, how do you know where it will start?
All right. Just give me an hour. Let me try to find it before we call the police. If I do, I'll take it back and destroy it myself.
Do you give me your word?
Yes.
All right. I'll go with you.
Thanks, James.
I'll get my rifle. Do you have a gun?
Yes. But I'm not going to use it unless it...
Yes, unless. That's why I'll take mine. Shan't be mort. It's getting dark. Where do you think it might have gone?
It's hard to tell. It's afraid of thunder. It might be hiding in the barn.
The old Hamilton place?
Yeah.
How are you going to capture it? Have you thought of that?
I brought along a hypodermic.
You're not afraid anymore, are you?
No.
That's strange, because I am. Not of what it might do to me, but because of the fact that I've seen it. I know it exists.
There's the barn. If it's in there, there's no way out the back way. It was boarded up, wasn't it?
Yes.
I'll go in. Wait out here, will you?
No, I'm coming with you.
No. If it's in there, if it tries to escape, shoot it as it comes out.
Oh, don't take the chance. It won't let you get near.
I'm going to try. Thanks, James. I lied. I am afraid. And if it's in here, hiding, waiting for me, I am afraid. I should have destroyed it. James was right. What's the matter with this flashlight? Wet. Ah, that's better. What's that? In the corner. I won't hurt you. It's all right. I understand. I won't hurt you. Don't be frightened. It's going to be all right. You'll hardly feel this. It won't hurt.
I'm not sure. I might have hit it. I don't know.
It's gone.
Yes, are you? Victor. Victor. Oh, Victor. He never recovered consciousness again. Outside, I looked for the thing I'd shot at. But there was no sign of it. I returned to the lab and burnt every paper, destroyed every single evidence of Victor Frankenstein's terrible experiment. But the result of that experiment has never been found. Nor have I been able yet to convince the authorities that such a thing ever existed.
Suspense. Presented by Autolite. Tonight's star, Mr. Herbert Marshall. Next week, a story based on fact, terrifying in its truth. The dramatic report of a man returning home to find he now lives in a frightened city. Our star, Mr. Frank Lovejoy. The program will be heard on Suspense. Tonight's story was adapted for Suspense by Anthony Ellis. Suspense is transcribed and directed by Elliot Lewis. Music was written by Lucian Morwick and conducted by Lud Gluskin. In tonight's cast, Joseph Kearns was heard as James Gibson, Paula Winslow was Elizabeth, and Paul Frees, the monster.
Herbert Marshall is soon to be seen in the RKO radio picture, The Bystander.
Remember next week, Mr. Frank Lovejoy in The Frightened City.
Suspense, on Tuned to Yesterday from November 3rd, 1952 on CBS. They would bring that show back again in June of 1955. And that brings to a close this hour of horror on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great stories from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levanier. Thanks for listening.